we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Merry Christmas, everyone. 'Tis the season to be jolly, and it's also the season to be honest. I'm Dr. Marilyn Singleton, and welcome to America Out Loud Pulse. We are always a beat ahead. Christmas is always a time for reflection on the happenings of the year and how we can make a better life for our family and even a better world. One of the problems is somehow we seem to be so divided that we can't even say Merry Christmas anymore. I would say at the core of everything that's happened is the culture war. What's a culture war? It's a conflict caused by differences in values and beliefs, and it puts people at odds with each other, and it puts up a battle for the dominance of one set of values over the other. I mean, easily what comes to mind is abortion and gender identity issues, and they're big wedges between all of us. And you know, do they have to be? Could people actually sit down and discuss things with one another? Oh no, that would be like too normal. You know, the problem, it was set up to be more than socialist leanings versus capitalist principles. They set us up to be permanently divided, to distrust one another. And this year, we have seen more emphasis on defining people by their race, their gender, their sexual preferences, rather than just looking at people as individuals, because that's what we are. We're all born different. I mean, even identical twins are different. And this idea of lumping people into little tribes, obviously that's purposeful, because what did they say many moons ago in ancient times? Divide and conquer. So there's a lot of subcategories of all these divisions. I can think of a few. Gee, right in the top of the news, there's the subdivision of people who think it's okay to publish language dictionaries that tell you what words you can use and what words you can't. I mean, in a civil society, I think we know what nasty words are or what bad words are or racial slurs are. But when you can't even say brown bag and for your lunch, not because it's talking about Hispanic people, it's talking about the color of the paper bag. Duh. Well, there's a group of people who think that's okay, group of people who think that's not okay. And then we have schools in Kansas who decided, well, we're not going to teach algebra because too many kids find it too hard and are not passing the class. So there's a whole group of people that think that's a good idea to dumb our kids down. And of course, another group of people, such as myself, that think things like that help you become a critical thinker. Whether you use it, whether you're an artist or whatever you ultimately become, you do have to still use your mind. And my goodness, to stop a class because it's too hard, what are we coming to? Then we've got those who take their four-year-old kids to X-rated drag queen story hours, and those who read their children Winnie the Pooh and Dr. Seuss stories. We've got those who believe in mutilating children at the child's request, and those who believe in watching and waiting and counseling. We've got those who believe a fetus is a human life, and those who believe it's a clump of cells to be sucked out at will. We have those who believe a country should have common bonds between its residents, and those who balkanize us into separate tribes fighting over government scraps. We've got those who go to church and give to charities. And then there's a whole group who think charity is the government's job. There's those who believe a country should control its borders for many reasons. Mass immigration all at the same time makes assimilation difficult. But assimilation into one country under God? Oh, we know that's not the goal. Remember, they want tribes at each other's throats with liberty and justice for some. And then there's those who care about the Chinese communists made fentanyl coming across the southern border is a bad thing for America. And those who think it's a problem for those people, whoever they might be, Appalachians, white trash, poor blacks. But wait, aren't we supposed to care about black folks and give them a leg up? Makes one wonder, doesn't it? There's politicians who work for their constituents and want those. And then there's the politicians who are just sold to the highest bidder, not their voters. And their only goal is power at any cost. And they lie and they make their actions seem like they benefit the people. But it's all power, 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 power. And it reminds me of a book by Gore Vidal years ago, and where there was a fellow who wanted to rule the world, and he created a bacteria that would kill those who he wanted to kill. It turned out it killed everybody, and he was the ruler of nobody. And that's where I think our politicians are going. They're pretty soon, there won't be anybody to rule, and they'll wonder, who do they really have power over? Then we have people who follow the science. I love that word. It has become a four-letter word. And then there's those who follow their politicians and their puppets, no matter how absurd the mandates are. There are those who realize COVID subsidies would be fertile ground for fraud, and no bureaucracy breeds incompetence and unaccountability. And then there's a whole group that have their hand out and don't really care about the consequences. Then we've got a group of people who want competent doctors of any skin color, and those who preach diversity overall. Just wait until the underqualified person flunks out of school or kills or maims a few patients. He won't be happy. He was shoehorned into medical school. His life will be destroyed, certainly his psyche and any sense of self-worth. But again, nobody cares about that. It's all a veneer. It's all fake. Then we have whole groups of people who believe parents have the primary responsibility for their children. And then the other group thinks it's the government's business on how to raise and talk to one's children. I mean, even to the point like California with its gender sanctuary state law, where they can override court orders and jurisdictional issues from other states just so a child can come here and transition, as they say, to another gender, which of course is not really following the science. There's those who believe in a higher power, and those who, as my mother would say, think the world revolves around them. There's those who think theft is a crime, and those who think it's reparations for, and people should be able to steal anything they need. There's people who look at the facts and conclude that the COVID virus came from a lab, and those who believe anything the government tells them. There's those who think it's a wonderful step forward for civil rights, that women and minority women in particular have come a long way. And those who think it's just fine that Joe Biden said he would pick a black woman for the Supreme Court. And then he doubled down by not only picking a Black woman, but he had to find one with an ethnic weave hairdo, fake ethnic sounding first name as the key criterion. Now, not to offend, but like Kamala Harris, she has a rich white husband. What phonies? Who cares who you fell in love with? But don't give me that Black victim crap. Then we've got the Ukraine war draining our treasury. What group really has such a thirst for endless war? It seems like it's both political parties. Who are they in bed with? Who are they getting their money from? Do the defense contractors run our country, or do we? Certainly, it's been a long time since we've run our country. We know that. Then we've got a group of people who think forgiving student loans on the backs of taxpayers who didn't waste their time in leftist indoctrination factories, and who those they think that's not a good thing. And then, just like with other stuff, there's people with their hand out and they're first in line for the money. I could go on and on and on, but it's Christmas time, and there's a whole group who think Christmas is a special day, a particularly special day, and a time for giving and remembering words of love and peace. And then there's a whole group of people who just call it a generic holiday. I mean, I particularly like how we don't say Christmas tree. A Christmas tree is something quite specific. It's now a holiday tree. Well, what kind of holiday tree? Is it a tree with turkeys on it, a tree with firecrackers on it for 4th of July, or tree with Easter eggs on it for Easter, or Valentine's for Valentine's Day? It's not a holiday tree. It is a Christmas tree. And that's not even religious. I mean, my goodness, you didn't call it the tree of our Lord Jesus. You called it a Christmas tree. Now, what is so wrong with that? It's anything that could possibly connect it to religion of Christianity somehow is wrong, even though, of course, our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. I don't get it. I wish I did. I would be the most brilliant person in the world if, even though my ideas think, well, it goes all the way back to Marxist ideas, you gotta get rid of God and society and become totally secular in order for Marxism, socialism to take hold. You have to make us victims. You have to make us miserable in order to be able to take over. There is a book called True Believer, The Making of a Mass Movement by Eric Hoffer. You can still find it. It was written, well, 50, 60 years ago. And it was so prescient. When I was reading it, it was probably after Obama had been elected. And who he described was Obama. He was talking about how people rise to the top and can get a movement going, and saying that businessmen tended not to make the best politicians or win the elections because they would tell you facts and give you specific answers to what your problems were. But he says that's not what people seem to crave, and that the person who can start the mass movement and become the big leader is someone who promises you something that can't be defined. And his words were hope and change. Who said hope and change? Barack Obama. Hope. We all think of hope as a positive thing. And change can be anything. Change can be good, change can be bad, but people like to think it's a good thing, but it's not defined. And that's how these folks can get ahead. And so I highly recommend the book. It has a lot of things in there that you can recognize that are happening today, saying that happy people don't fall for all this BS and hokum, that you have to have people be miserable and then they'll swallow anything. Look at what's happening now. But I digress. Like I said, it's Christmas. It's time for love and peace and the season to be jolly. And after our break, maybe we'll talk about some positive things. Well, the first positive thing I'm going to talk about, and I've talked about it before, I hope you're not tired of hearing me say it, but I really talk about a true believer. I believe in Cofix RX. This is what I use to help ward off respiratory troubles, especially in this cold winter. And our Christmas time this year has been particularly cold. And what Cofix RX is, it's a nasal spray. The prime ingredient is povidone iodine, and it's a powerful antiviral. When you spray it up your nose, it destroys the germs, and it's really pretty simple. It also has vitamin D, and we all have learned, and there's plenty of peer-reviewed studies that show that vitamin D helps with the severity of COVID. And why does it work? Most of our respiratory illnesses come through the nose. And if you can stop it in their tracks in the nose before it gets down to your lungs, we'll all be better off. So one of the things that I love about this is that it was invented by Americans and made in the USA. So what could be better than that? You can find it at health food stores and pharmacies, but you can actually click on the button on our website and get a discount. It's, I think, on the left side of the page. Just look on the page and read all about it. And if you decide it's right for you, which I hope you do, go ahead and pick some up.
Cold and flu season is here. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to minimize airborne viral threats? Well, now there is, and it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray called Cofix RX. You might even say it's just what the doctor ordered. To reduce your chance of getting hurt, you wear a safety belt when you're driving. To limit sun damage, you wear sunscreen on the beach. Cofix RX is just like that. It's an additional layer of protection. It's sold by thousands of pharmacists and medical doctors nationwide. It's made right here in the USA. Again, it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray. You've heard them talk about it here on the Out Loud Network over and over again. Check out CofixRx.com. That's CofixRx.com for a retailer near you, or use coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off at CofixRx.com.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
The spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. We are the voice of a nation, the American nation, that is. This is Malcolm Out Loud. I invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com, where the fight for liberty and justice continues. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, back to the show. So, it is our season to be jolly. And sometimes I do think it's a struggle to find some good things. But there's some things You know, sometimes it's big, sometimes it's little things that happen in our daily lives. And that's what we have to kind of focus on. And sometimes I feel like opening a can that doesn't have one of those pop-off tops and to use an old-fashioned can opener and not cut yourself, that's a victory. That's a good thing. And sometimes, some days, you know, I just pick up and say, every time something, even if it's small, something good happens, just chalk that up to the good things in life. But we had some big things happen that maybe give us hope that we might be in charge after all. Pro-parental rights, Glenn Youngkin became governor of Virginia. Virginia, which had become very bluey blue, and he signed multiple executive orders, and one of them was barring the teaching of critical race theory in public schools. And he created a commission to help fight anti-Semitism, and he had a lot of measures to stop human trafficking. And, you know, we've done a show here on human trafficking, which is more prevalent than I think a lot of people think. So actually doing something about it and, you know, going back to talking about immigration, a lot of human trafficking and the folks coming over the border. So anyway, he's done a lot of stuff in that regard. And then we've got the, I guess now he's become the new America's governor, Ron DeSantis. He signed the Florida Parental Rights in Education Act. And that bans certain discussion about sexual orientation and gender identities from kindergarten to third grade. It's kind of sad to me that somebody had to ban that. Who would think in kindergarten, all third grade, that kids are even thinking about sexual orientation or sex or anything else? I find it stunning. Many moons ago, I was in kindergarten, and I just remember Oscar Zavala taking the straw from our milk cartons and sucking, putting it in his nose and sucking up the milk that way. And going, ew, how gross. That's what kindergarten is for, not for talking about sex and gender identity. And it just sort of makes me sick. In April, this was a good thing. A judge, a federal judge, struck down the federal mask mandate on public transportation, ruling that the CDC failed to follow proper rulemaking procedures. Now, some people look at that like a technicality, but it isn't really, because one of the things that's been happening in this current administration is the executive branch, which are all these agencies like the CDC are part of the executive branch, and they're doing things that should be left to the legislative branch. Now, mind you, our legislators haven't seemed to be doing us much good, but at least we have some control over them. We can go out and vote, assuming the voting machines aren't fixed, but at least that's something that we can attack. When it's a bureaucrat that's doing it, we don't know who they are, who appointed them, what their agendas are. They have no accountability to us. So it's a really good thing that they're pointing out that these agencies are not following the proper procedures. So then we have on June 24th, the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. And what that does is leave the rules about abortion to the states. And that, of course, goes with our federalism. Fortunately, on America Out Loud, we've got a show on Constitution that you can listen to and learn about all this stuff. But that was sort of the whole point when they were deciding what to do with the Constitution. Is who has more power, the federal government or the states? That's why we're called the United States. The states should have the most power, and the federal government just sort of pulls us together and is there for the common defense. So then, I know this sounds kind of weird for good news, but an adult male in Massachusetts had monkeypox. This was several months ago. But the good thing about that is after they tried to make monkeypox the new scaredemic, it seemed to be in a particular group of people. And that's a good thing because it's not a pandemic. Everybody wasn't going to get it. And the thing that cracks me up, in an odd way, is that the World Health Organization has now decided to rename monkeypox. It's called Mpox now because monkeypox had racist overtones. And it made me have to ask, what person is the racist? Who decided that monkeys were associated with Black people? It's kind of weird because, as I understand it, the monkeypox, the first infected monkey, was in Texas. But hey, facts don't matter if you have an agenda. Then mid-year, Justice Brett Kavanaugh survived an attempted murder from a weirdo from California. Oh, my home state, my birth state. It embarrasses me. And the FBI managed, to raid his home and capture him. Now, interestingly, the sad part is he knew where Kavanaugh lived because all these sickos were doxing the Supreme Court justices over the whole abortion issue. So it's really sad. And people, they just seem to have no civility anymore. So that gave me the willies. And me as a woman, I really liked what happened with the abused Olympic gymnasts, that they were going to seek $1 billion from the FBI for the FBI knew about that doctor, Larry Nassar, who was sexually abusing these girls, and most of them young. They didn't know what a real pelvic exam was supposed to be. And he was the team doctor for the gymnastics team. And the FBI had inklings, but they did nothing. So I hope these girls win. And that's been kind of under the radar, but hopefully that will pop up. Because as we know, lately, the FBI is being exposed as a tool of somebody, but certainly not just a law enforcement agency who's working to solve crimes, that they're jumping on various agendas. And again, it's wrong. They're supposed to be a premier law enforcement agency, and now they're just a political tool. Then what's really good, in June, Ghislaine Maxwell, Ghislaine with the funny spelled name, got a 20-year sentence for her charges related to human trafficking and underage abuse. So far, she's still alive in jail. She hasn't been Jeffrey Epstein'd. So we'll see, but at least she's behind bars. And it's nice to see a high profile human trafficker get their just desserts. And then again, Governor DeSantis did something that it struck me, because I think we all like to think we're proud of our veterans and thank our veterans for their service, et cetera. Well, he did something that I thought was really cool. He allowed veterans and active soldiers to apply for teaching jobs in Florida without official teaching credentials. And I just think that's great. Little aside, when my son was in school, I had taught some students from public high school for a moot court contest, and they were going to get some scholarship money if they won this contest. Well, we took them to court, and some of the girls had little halter tops and stuff, and I told them how to dress and all that. And then it struck me that these kids were so smart that a lot of things they just didn't know. It was like, in the old days when they used to have charm school. And so I thought, how about an after school class just in how to dress for a job interview and things not to say and stuff like that. So I went to the school, down to the school board, and proposed this idea. Now, mind you, at the time, I'm a doctor, a lawyer, a mother. I'm cleared with the FBI, had to get fingerprinted to be a lawyer, and had no crimes on my record, not even a parking ticket, as they say, and proposed this and said why, after meeting with these students from high school. And they said, you've got to go back to school for 2 years and get a teaching credential in order to do that. And my son had warned me that that would happen because he worked up in the office in the high school he was in. And he said, it's all union. They don't want you there. And isn't that sad? A parent wants to get involved, help other students. And I was shut down. So this is why this veterans being able to teach without a credential is near and dear to me, because clearly there's people who are intelligent, know how to communicate with others. And when I took the CBEST test, that was the test that was your step one to get a teaching credential. That's how devoted I was to my idea. The test was supposed to be like 3 hours or something. I finished it in a half hour. It was very basic. And I just thought, oh my goodness, this is what they want me to go through. So anyway, bureaucracy. And then we have later in the year, Elon Musk, he finally bought Twitter. And of course, after he bought it, it was revealed what we already knew. Conservative voices were censored by shadow banning or blacklisting people, making it so you couldn't search for it. And then the story, I think I hear about it every Thanksgiving. It's the sweetest story. There is a woman who texted the wrong person instead of her grandson to come over for Thanksgiving dinner. And this happened several years ago. And then, of course, just to defy what they're trying to say, that blacks and whites hate each other, this is a white woman and a young black guy. He was late teens, got the text. And so he came over to dinner, and he stayed for dinner. Ultimately, he and the woman became friends, and they've been friends ever since. And this is, 7, 8, 9 years ago. Anyway, they tell that story every year, and I love the story. And then in my own life, now this, I hope this doesn't sound too weird, but knowing all this stuff that they're doing with the kids and all this gender transitioning and all this nonsense. And I shouldn't say nonsense. There's some people who are really having psychological issues over it. But what I think is nonsense is the way that people are jumping on the bandwagon and saying, okay, have surgery, mutilate yourself. And that I was walking down the street, and there were 4 guys who had just parked their car, and, I waved and said hi. They were about 19, 20-year-olds, and they were young men of various races, and they were kind of hanging out, and they were on their way to the beach. And I says, what you doing? They just said, I'm just going to go check out girls. And I thought, boy, how healthy. And what happened to that, where there's just people going out, have fun, And they didn't say they were going to go rape girls. They're just going to look, but you better not touch. That's kind of, to me, normal. So on the other side, we're going to do something a little different, and hopefully you'll like it. My Christmas gift from all of you is that you're listening to America Out Loud, the whole website, and of course our show, America Out Loud Pulse. We've got a lot of different folks on the show. We've got Mondays with me, Tuesdays with Dr. Jordan Vaughn and Dr. Stuart Tankersley, Wednesdays with Dr. Peter McCulloch and Malcolm Out Loud, Thursdays with Dr. Peter Bregan and Ginger Ross Bregan, and Fridays we're having a mystery guest. Our nurse, Jody O'Malley, who we love, has actually now started a whole nother show. We have Nurses Out Loud, and that's on Mondays at 10, and then again at 10 at night. Pulse is on at 5 p.m. Eastern, and with our encore at 11. You can hear us on all the apps that are free, Apple, Android, Alexa, and we're on iHeartRadio the next morning at 8 o'clock. The part that I like is it goes direct to podcast in 24 hours. And the episodes are on lots of podcast networks, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, Stitcher, and iHeart. So make it easy. Just bookmark americaoutloud.com/pulse. My Christmas gift to all of you is a great big thank you for listening to America Out Loud, the whole website, and particularly ours, America Out Loud Pulse. As you know, we are always a beat ahead. You know, we've got the free apps on Apple, Android, and Alexa. You can hear Pulse every weekday at 5 p.m. with an encore presentation at 11 p.m. And then on iHeartRadio at 8 a.m. the next morning. You can listen on your way to work. We also have media players, and you can listen there from any web browser anywhere in the world. And the best part I like is all shows go direct to podcast in 24 hours. And the episodes are on lots of podcast networks, Apple and Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, Stitcher, and iHeart. So make it easy. Bookmark americaoutloud.com and americaoutloud.com/pulse. The other wonderful thing that I enjoy about the show is that it's different people every day. I'm on Mondays. Tuesdays has concerned doctors, Dr. Jordan Vaughn and Dr. Stuart Tankersley. Wednesdays with Dr. Peter McCulloch and Malcolm Out Loud. Thursdays with Dr. Peter Bregan and Ginger Ross Bregan. And Fridays, we'll have a new host. Our old Friday host, Nurse Jody O'Malley, has moved to a new show called Nurses Out Loud. So different nurse every day of the week. And that's on every day at 10 in the morning with an encore at 10 in the evening. All these times are Eastern. Now, one of the things is we do have a new feature, which is questions. If you have any questions, you can send them to americaoutloud.com/pulse. And first names are fine for the questions, and we'll get you an answer. And whether it's from the host or a guest, we'll see if we can find an answer for you there. So that's the show. I hope that that's our Christmas gift to you. And just keep on listening. And we hope to have wonderful shows next year as well. So we're going to get back to today's show.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
Okay, now we are back, and this is something I was just reading one of my little medical newspapers I get, and they have a little section on trivia, and I thought it just might be sort of fun to say some of these trivia things, and this is as good a time as any to just go ahead and do it. So one of the questions was, what is the adult blood volume? Is it 3, 5, 7, or 10 liters? Okay, make your guess. Well, the answer is 5. And then this one is kind of interesting. I don't even know if a lot of doctors have multiplied this out. How much blood does a heart pump per minute? 1 liter, 5, 10. It's 5. So what it is, they made this based on 70 beats per minute, and each beat has 70 milliliters of blood. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And one of the other ones was, what is the fattiest organ in the body? Is it your liver? Is it your heart? Is it your skin? No. What is it? It's your brain. It's 60% fat. I had to laugh when I read that. I mean, I kind of knew that answer. It's one of the reasons you have to have some cholesterol and you have to have some fat. You can't completely eliminate fat because it's not good for your brain to not have some fat. Is that expression of, you know, he's a fathead, that I just thought that was kind of funny, given that the brain is 60% fat. And let's see, one more. How long do your red blood cells last in the body? I'll give you the choice. 1, 4, 6, or 12 months. So think about the answer. Think about how long they make you wait before you donate blood. The answer is 4 months. So anyway, those are my little trivia questions. We do have some positive medical news, speaking of the season to be jolly, that popped up this year. I know we had, you know, lots of negative stuff, the addiction and fentanyl overdoses, but we're trying to be positive in this half of the show. So vitamin D levels, our old friend vitamin D, that were measured in autopsy brain tissues, and they found that high levels of vitamin D, good levels, were linked to cognitive function. And if you had good levels, that there were lower odds of having dementia. So These are good things to know when there are certain things that you can do for yourself to improve your health. Nothing is guaranteed. You can live the perfect life, eat perfect food, do perfect exercise, and you're still going to get sick. But sometimes that just happens. But we have to do everything. It's just like keeping your oil, changing your car. You got to do everything you can to maximize your odds of having a long, healthy life. The other good news is fewer people are dying from cancer. This came out with the American Association for Cancer Research. They do an annual report. And over the last 30 years, the cancer death rate has fallen by 32%. That's 3.5 million fewer people that died. Well, they asked the fellow who's in charge, and he's looked at one. We had a lot of advances in research, and a big one was lifestyle changes, mostly smoking, stopping smoking. This was kind of stunning to me that in 1965, 42% of U.S. adults smoked, but in 2020, only 12.5% did. That's pretty stunning. And smoking, you know, we all know that it's a big cause of lung cancer, but it also causes bladder, kidney, pancreatic, and liver cancer. So it's not just your lungs. So if you're smoking, try to stop. There's lots of medications out there and programs, including acupuncture, that can help you stop smoking. One of the other things is people are starting to screen for cancer earlier. So the earlier you find it, the better off you are. And then there's a lot of new treatments. And this is something, and I've always said this to people, you know, with these new treatments, they're doing genetic stuff where they're linking things with the human genome and very fancy stuff. And if somebody says that, well, you're too old or you're too this or you're too that, just tell them, I want the level of treatment Jimmy Carter got, even though he was in his 90s, and dare somebody not to give you the maximal treatment. So one of the big things, and I remember this from many moons ago when I was working in a lab in medical school, working on immunotherapy. Well, it certainly came to fruition because it's one of the big pillars of cancer treatment. Along with the chemotherapy and radiation and surgery, is using the body's own immune system to fight the cancer. Now, one of the things that's still a big problem is physical inactivity and obesity, that there's some cancers that breast cancer in women particularly is associated with obesity. The other thing is reducing alcohol can decrease cancer risk. What was interesting is, one, knowing all the cancers that alcohol can be associated with: laryngeal cancers, breast cancers, colorectal cancers, liver, esophageal, and even people who were drinking a lot before, if you cut down, then the risk goes down accordingly. And so I just think it's something positive, because some people think, well, I've been drinking for 30 years and I'm a heavy drinker and I'm stuck, and whatever it causes, too bad. But this is a pretty big study, and it just found no matter what your level was, and as long as you reduced it, whether it went to moderate or whether it went to mild, and of course quit, you get the maximum effect, they found a decrease in cancer. Now there's something else, that another nice study that came out this year that showed that resistance breathing training lowered blood pressure. And we all know high blood pressure leads to a lot of stuff, heart attacks and strokes. And resistance training, it's just breathing against resistance. And there's a little device called Power Breathe. And people who breathed in every day for several minutes were able to lower their blood pressure 9 millimeters of mercury for the systolic. That's the upper number pressure. So this was equated to some people doing aerobic exercise or walking or running. So the thing that's good is if a person couldn't exercise, they can do this resistance breathing. Now, here's one. I don't know about you, but sometimes getting to sleep can be hard. But it's something we have to try to do because good sleepers have lower risk of heart disease and stroke. There is a big study. This was in France, and it was almost 10,000 people. So it was a lot they looked at. And the people who slept better had fewer heart problems. Now, of course, they have to adjust for age and sex and alcohol, you know, smoking, physical activity, diabetes, all that kind of stuff. And somebody might decide that the people who have less heart disease are just kind of happier people, and happier people can fall asleep easier at night. So there's always, with all these studies, there's always things that you can attribute it to. That's like people who have dogs, they say have better heart outcomes. And it's, you know, you'd like to think it's your loving little pet, but they say it's generally because if you have a dog, you have to go out and walk it. And if you go out and walk, that's good for your circulation. Well, I like to think it's having a loving little dog that makes you feel good. But, and then there was a fun diet study that came out from Sweden that said that diet in your middle age didn't change anything in dementia. Now, you could look at that as good or bad, that if you were somebody who really tried to eat right and all and think that it should lower your chances of getting vascular disease. And then they're saying, well, it didn't make any difference at all. But that doesn't mean you're still not supposed to eat right, because usually when you eat right, it goes along with trying to do other things, you know, not smoking or drinking in moderation and having moderate exercise. So who knows what to think of that one. And then one of the other things that's fun is coffee. Huge study in England with 500,000 participants that all coffee, even decaffeinated ground and instant, that 2 to 3 cups of coffee a day, people had less coronary heart disease, heart failure, and stroke. So that's kind of interesting. And then two of the coffees and were, what is it, ground coffee and instant coffee, but not decaffeinated coffee, were associated with reduced arrhythmia. So that, I just thought that was interesting, because coffee has been vilified as a bad thing. So we'll see how that kind of turns out. And then there's some good news for people who don't like to exercise, that they found there's something, I'll name, what do they call it? Vigorous intermittent lifestyle physical activity. They call it VILPA. That this is when you're doing anything, even if it's house cleaning, doing the dishes or whatever, do it really fast for just a few minutes, and that you get the same sort of cardiovascular positive reaction than if you had gone out and walked or jogged or something. So if you're doing some sort of activity, just stop and just do it really fast. And so that's a big positive thing, especially for people who can't get out, they're don't want to spend money on going to a gym or whatever, that you can take care of that stuff for yourself. And one thing that I'd like to mention, that it wasn't a huge study, it was just 159 records, and that these folks looked at and did a literature review of people with neurological disorders. And they found that spirituality was associated with a higher quality of life and emotional well-being. And there is a lower incidence of certain disorders like Alzheimer's disease and other dementias among religious communities incorporating lifestyle recommendations. Now, of course, one of the things is, again, you come back to lifestyle, that if you're trying to kind of follow the sense that your body is God's temple, then you don't abuse it, that that's kind of secondary to your spirituality, that you take care of your body. But this kind of brings us full circle to the culture war we're facing. So here we have spirituality possibly improving our health, but we've seen this small group of loudmouths control the narrative and make public policy for itself, for all of us, even though that's not what most of us really think. Remember back in the, some of us, back in the 70s, that was in the Nixon era, they had something called the silent majority. Well, I think there's a reemergence of that silence. COVID on purpose turned people into sheep. And I mean, they even now have a term for prolonged social distancing, people who are afraid to return to the workplace. And I mean, this is ridiculous. And we know that there's lots and lots of doctors and parents and teachers who don't believe that drivel that's spewed out by our so-called leadership. This and what we're talking about today is at the core of America Out Loud. We want you to be loud and show that you are the majority voice, because we are. And with that, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we know the new year will be way better than the last. And say it loud, I'm free and I'm proud.